Hi FM, your station of choice since 2008.
And the Israel Report brought to you with the compliments of the Blue Agency, Israeli Property Management and Sales.
The Israel Report for the latest news and insights with Anthony Reich.
Anthony Reich, Shavua Tov, how are you?
Boker Tov, Shavua Tov. Apparently this funeral that the world is gearing up for is going to be one of the most watched events ever.
Unbelievable.
On TV.
Incredible.
Listening to your rant just before this, I'm guessing that I don't know how many people are going to be watching it in your neighborhood. President Herzog is already in London, will attend the funeral to represent the State of Israel. I'm guessing as well that the Chief Rabbi of the UK, of England, Chief Rabbi Ephraim Mervis, will probably also be amongst the dignitaries. The royal family known to have a very good relationship with the Jewish community in the UK, and particularly the new king, who has already been seen with his specially designed kippah with his royal emblem on it. We've seen those pictures as well. But I don't want to talk about funerals today, but I want to start by talking about the funerals that potentially were prevented by this dreaded sinkhole that opened up in the middle of the Ayalon Highway in Tel Aviv on Saturday. Now, this is just an astonishing thing that happened when a hole simply opened up in a lane at what is probably the busiest junction, the Hashalom Junction, on what is probably Israel's busiest highway, which goes through Tel Aviv, connects North Israel to South Israel. It is miraculous that nobody was hurt, injured, or killed in this event as the sinkhole opened up in the lane on the highway. We understand that the sinkhole has been caused by construction, which is happening adjacent to the highway, to build a new tower for the Azrieli buildings, which are already situated there. Now, the three Azrieli buildings that already exist are in the shape of a circle, a triangle, and a square, very geometrically designed. A new building is going up. I just wonder whether listeners might know what the shape of the new building is going to be. Not a classic geometric shape. I will leave it at that. Perhaps if those people want to write in very quickly, I will let you know towards the end before I let you go. The new shape of the Azrieli building, but unfortunately, the construction underground, the new parking areas, apparently gave rise to the sinkhole in the middle of the lane and caused absolute traffic chaos yesterday because lanes were closed, highways were closed. We weren't sure if the trains which run alongside were going to be running. In the end, most things kind of worked to some degree or another. But the sinkhole is not the first one in Israel. We experienced some sinkholes elsewhere and in other places. Particularly, there was one in Jerusalem at the Shaarei Tzedek Hospital in the parking lot, which swallowed up two or three cars. The one on the Ayalon, by the way, that opened up on Saturday, was apparently 15 meters deep. That's like, I don't know, five stories of a building. I think 15 meters. Just imagine how dramatic it could have been if there were cars around there. Another sinkhole, unfortunately, did cause some deaths when apparently an illegally constructed swimming pool disappeared into a sinkhole underneath. So the sinkhole phenomenon, unfortunately, is around. But yesterday, the sinkhole on Saturday gave rise to educating me in a new word in the Hebrew language. And the word is bolan. Bolan is the Hebrew word for sinkhole. And the reason I wanted to share it with you is because I think it's so descriptive. It comes from the root of the word bolea, which means to swallow. Bolan is a sinkhole. You can literally see being swallowed into the earth. Bolan is the word for sinkhole. A very, very serious situation. And of course, I understand yesterday the sinkhole was already repaired, that there were the construction workers were out.
But on the main highway is potentially very, very dangerous, can you imagine?
Very dangerous and hugely disruptive to the flow of traffic, which was already suffering a lot
pressure.
Of disruptions due to the major construction in Tel Aviv. So, a very serious event. Just one other thing before we get into the main news. 60 Minutes, the CBS show, the American news show published an interview with Iranian President Raisi. And for those people who have the opportunity to get hold of 60 Minutes, first of all, I think it's a show that's well worth watching. I don't usually recommend U.S. news shows, but 60 Minutes is certainly one, an investigative news show, which I think is very much worth watching. This one is very much worth watching, of course, because President Raisi was being interviewed by Leslie Stahl. When she asked him whether he believes that the Holocaust happened, she also asked him whether he believed that Israel has the right to exist. The answers to those two questions are very educational for us, give us a very good insight as to what's happening in the mind of the president of Iran. And while he didn't quite say, no, the Holocaust didn't happen, and he didn't quite say, no, Israel doesn't have the right to exist, he almost said that kind of roundabout diplomatic way. When asked about the Holocaust, he went to say, well, historians really should examine history. And while there is evidence, there are signs that it might have happened. Historical events need to be investigated by, those kind of answers are really crazy. And of course, when asked about Israel's right to exist, he went on to say, well, you see, the people of Palestine are the reality. That was the first line of the answer to the question as to whether Israel has the right to exist. And then he went on to say that this is the right of the people of Palestine who were forced to leave their homes. It's worth a watch for people who like this sort of thing. 60 Minutes by CBS, if you can get hold of it. The interview of President Raisi by Leslie Stahl.
Yeah, it was a very, very strange, answer. Well, I mean, they were less strange than they were confirmatory. We knew exactly. What he thinks, and it's now maybe good that the rest of the world can hear that. Israel's new ambassador to Chile was snubbed by the Chilean president when he arrived to present his credentials. What is the latest in the story?
Israel's new ambassador to Chile is Gil Arzeli, and he arrived at the presidential palace on Sunday to present his credentials to Chilean President Gabriel Boric. He has recently been elected as the president of Chile, and he, of course, in his role as president, accepts the credentials of new ambassadors who are appointed to Chile. And Gil Arzeli arrived at the presidential palace as planned. This had been a pre-planned event. Obviously, he doesn't just turn up on the spur of the moment. Let's go along to the presidential palace. We'll knock on the door and see if the president's around. No, this had all been planned beforehand in true diplomatic style to present his credentials to the president. Now, the president of Chile is pretty well known for his anti-Israel stance. So none of this has really come as a huge surprise, except for the fact that he is now the president of a sovereign country. And when you become the head of state, there are times when you need to set your political views aside and follow the line that is being given to you by the ruling government, because the president is, in the case of Chile, is not the head of the government. He is the head of state. And so therefore the government really should be deciding on these things. And the government clearly have been embarrassed by this event when President Boric decided that he was not going to go ahead with the meeting. The reason given was because it was apparently on Sunday a very sensitive day due to the death of a youth in the Gaza Strip, a teenager in the Gaza Strip. That was a very sensitive day, as a result of which the acceptance of the credentials by the Israeli ambassador were not held. The ceremony for the presentation of the credentials was not held. Apparently, this has now been put off until the end of September. A date has been scheduled for the 30th of September. Lots and lots of apologies being offered by the Chilean government to the Israeli government about this sequence of events. And in fact, the Israeli foreign ministry decided to call in the Chilean ambassador to Israel in order to address this issue effectively, to protest the fact that the credential ceremony was not adhered to in Santiago. I personally think that such an event should actually have a more serious consequence. If it was my decision, I would ask the Chilean ambassador to leave Israel until such time as the Israeli ambassador's credentials have been accepted, to show a sign of protest. I mean, this is a very, very serious diplomatic incident, and one can't underestimate the importance of, you know, the acceptance of credential ceremony, which is usually just a formality rather than a political opportunity. However, in the mix of all of this, of course, are 18,000 Jews who live in Chile. And so obviously the Israeli government has an interest to maintain good diplomatic relations with Chile. The government's relations with the Chilean government are good. The government officials have gone out of their way to apologize for this unfortunate incident. But of course, the president remains the president. He will still be there. I'm guessing when September the 30th comes around and the ceremony will be rescheduled and will be due to take place, I'm guessing it will be the same president who will be there to accept the credentials. We will be watching that very, very carefully indeed. But I just wondered what the listeners think about this series of events.
What should the repercussions be? 34519 or 0618951019. I was shocked to see this. The tens of thousands of Israelis are expected to travel to Oman for Rosh Hashanah, for the festivals. Oman being in Ukraine. Have they lost their minds?
So previous years, and of course before COVID particularly, for Rosh Hashanah, can see up to, or have seen up to, 30,000 Breslev Haredim travel to Oman, because of course Oman is the location of the burial of Rabbi Nachman. He is of course of Breslev, and the Breslev Hasidim very much follow in his footsteps, and it has been traditional for people from that particular Haredi sect to travel in their tens of thousands to Oman for Rosh Hashanah. And this has been going on for a number of years already, most of them from Israel, many of them come from other parts of the world, from the US, from the UK, from France, from other parts of the world, followers of that particular Haredi sect. And this year, the Israeli government has officially said, don't go, there is a war. Your safety cannot be guaranteed if you travel to Ukraine at this particular time, with attacks coming in from Russia pretty regularly. The word from the Ukrainian government is, don't come, because we cannot guarantee your safety.
They have, and it's tremendously unfair on them, isn't it, to add this pressure?
I think it is very unfair. The Breslev Hasidim haven't necessarily got a history of being fully understanding of other events which are around them.
You're so gentle. You're so diplomatic how you put that, Anthony. I'm so impressed.
Which potentially might impinge
Wait,
upon
I want you to
freedom.
Repeat that. They don't have a history of what?
Of being too sensitive to other events around them, which potentially could impinge upon the right to express their freedom to go to Oman for Rosh Hashanah, which is what they like to do. Right. Yeah, I mean, they just do this without any consideration and without any recognition of the reality. Now, I mean, even the Russian deputy foreign minister has been brought into this particular discussion. Mikhail Bogdanov has warned, apparently, the Israeli ambassador to Russia that the security situation regarding Oman, the safety of those individuals going to Oman cannot be guaranteed. Apparently, this has come from the Russian government. Now, So there have been reports backwards and forwards on this, and I'm not sure whether that's an accurate piece of reporting or not, because there are also contradictory reports which have said that the Russian government hasn't really gone as far as saying that they can't guarantee the safety of people there. But apparently, the Russian government has asked for details about where they're going to be at Oman, so at least that this can be provided to the military If it was me, I probably wouldn't go to Uman. I'll be honest with you, Howard. I don't know. Even if it was my tradition for dozens of years up until now, I would say this year around, I'm sure that we can celebrate Rosh Hashanah somewhere else. Right?
I would imagine.
There must be some alternative.
And you just wonder what the late rabbi would have said. Do you think that he would have been happy for people to place their lives at risk and place pressure on people around them in order to travel there? I would doubt it. I would somehow doubt it.
Where does pikuach nefesh come into all of this? I think that this is just crazy, just really not responsible in the least. The leaders, the people who are arranging these tours, apparently up to 10,000 people are expected to go to Uman for Rosh Hashanah. The people who are organizing this, I just hope that, you know, everybody will come back safely and that there won't be an incident to talk about, because this is really a disaster in a place that is just waiting to happen.
Absolutely. Well, that's what Anton L. says. What would the rabbi buried in Uman want in terms of the risk to his followers? I would think most definitely he would not want them to go. Before I let you go, Anthony, we were talking about the Azrieli buildings.
And, yes, we were.
And
we asked what the shape of the fourth building is going to be. I don't know if anybody has
any guesses. Henry said he guessed it's a spiral.
That is indeed correct.
Oh, wow.
Good for Henry. Well done. It is a spiral. That will be the shape of the new Azrieli building. I thought it was going to be something much more geometric, parallelogram or something like that. I don't know. But apparently not. We've got the square, we've got the circle, we've got the triangle, and now the spiral, which has contributed to this pothole on the Ayalon. Let's hope that the rest of the construction of this building will be a little bit luckier and safer than the pothole incident that we've seen over the weekend.
Absolutely. Anthony Reich, thank you as always. The Israel Report brought to you with the compliments of the Blue Agency, Israeli Property Management and Sales.